We preview the top matchups for week 6 of college football and make our picks. We reveal our locks, leans, and dog bets of the weekend, and we take your calls live on the Flaming Dragon Friday edition of Crane & Cup. Hey, what's up, everybody? Hope you guys are having a fantastic start to your weekend. However you listen to us, it doesn't matter. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the other ways. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review if you can, if you got time. And please keep sharing the show and make sure you're subscribed on all other platforms as well. We need to have an honest conversation about home field advantage and what it truly means and how it should be measured overall. Having a great home crowd can do a lot for a team. That's obvious. It fires you up, causes problems with pre-snap communication for the other team, and can boost momentum towards your side in a big way. But rarely can it consistently overcome a bad team or a team that is truly outmatched from a personnel standpoint. You can have an average team or a bad team be able to hang around in a game against a better team because of it, but by no means does it totally bridge the gap. That's why basing who has the best home field advantage on wins and losses alone isn't the best way to do it. Where it becomes a massive factor is within the margins of a matchup between two teams that are somewhat similar or close in personnel ability. It can make the difference. But saying a team doesn't have a great home field advantage because they lost against a superior team or they don't win every time at home versus a superior team is not the best way. Look at Auburn, for example. Jordan Hare is a voodoo factory. It's a witch palace. But if your team is vastly outmatched, over a four-quarter game, you are most likely going to lose. And I've never heard a player ever complain about the noise mid-play or while the play's going on, while they're running a route or running the ball. It's mostly being able to communicate correctly pre-snap offensively. Though I will say, when we played at Tennessee, the ground was literally shaking, so that could have had some effect. So home field advantage is a real thing, do not get me wrong. But the measurement of how great a home field advantage is should be determined by the personnel matchup on the field for that game, not just the outcome or result of that game or games over time. A guy who played in one of the best home field advantages at the Big House, former Michigan quarterback David Cone. And to be honest with you, Blaine, you played in at a
place that
has a big home field advantage. It's like the highest altitude field in the world.
Bam it. Who cares? I'm a dragon. Throw the intro.
At Western State, Colorado.
Yeah, baby, it's Friday.
This is Flaming Dragon.
It's Dragon Friday. Guess what's hitting today? The over, boys. I already heard two come out of Crane's mouth, so let's get ready.
Those don't count.
Those don't count, but it's good. It's good. I like it. It's flowing out of his mouth already. He's used to saying it.
Yeah, you've said that before.
You're damn right.
David, when it comes to home field advantage, when it comes to a home field advantage, how do you measure it overall? Because we talk about, like, I saw this on, the reason I'm talking about this, I saw this all over social media yesterday. You know, and some of it's like engagement farming and all that stuff. But honestly, I want to get down to the crux of what is the best way overall? Like, what are the three factors or even two metrics that you would measure a home field advantage, right?
That's a good question. I mean, I always look for penalties. I'll give you a good personal example here. A couple of weeks ago, I was able to go up to Ann Arbor for the Michigan and Texas game. Michigan, you talked about it being one of the best home field advantages. Not one of the loudest stadiums, though. But again, you have 114,000 people in there. That is an advantage. Well, look, man, it was rocking in there. And you could tell Michigan fans really loud on Texas's first drive. It played a factor. Had a couple false start penalties. Texas ends up driving down, but that drive stalls. They end up missing a field goal. That played a factor in that. But all of a sudden, Texas goes up 14-0, 14-3, the crowd's kind of taken out of it because of what you were talking about, better personnel. And from there on, the crowd really wasn't a factor. Maybe the crowd can get up on big third down, something like that. But after that point, you've kind of neutralized, right, the crowd because you had better personnel and were able to take a lead. That's just one example that comes to mind just because it's the most recent for me. And I was actually in that environment as a fan, whereas most of the time I was in the Big House, I was down on the field, which is a different, you know, know, you're trying to clear the mechanism.
And it's so much louder down on the field than it is in the stands.
Yeah, and it's a different loud too, right? Like we were, where I was sitting this past time was like right behind one of the walls and people are banging on that. So it's a different experience. But, you know, you always make a great point, which is a lot of times teams can play better on the road because you clear the distractions. Maybe you're not having to worry about getting 25 family members tickets to the game. Maybe you don't have to worry about where y'all are going to dinner reservations after. You just get to go on the road and handle your business. I'm not saying, you know, that necessarily makes up for all of the real factors that you can get from playing on the road, which are noise, distractions, having to have, you know, nonverbal communication to get snaps and all that. But I do think that's an important point that you always bring up.
And penalties, obviously, especially when the opposing team or the road team is on offense, can even out a talent gap, right? Because starting in first and 15 a lot puts you at a disadvantage as opposed to being in first and 10. Flaming Dragon, you know, I want to make sure everybody understands. I wins and losses matter. I'm not saying that doesn't matter when it goes to home field advantage. And I used Auburn as an example because even going back to the team with Bryce Young in the Iron Bowl, you know, where Auburn had worse personnel than Alabama, but they were able to lead for most of the game and had a chance or keep the game tight and had a chance to win it at the end, but didn't. Going back to last year, obviously against Georgia, they were had lower personnel than what Georgia had. They were able to stay in the game the whole time, but eventually lost it. Alabama, same thing, even though it was 4th and 31, which is a totally different type of illness. But when you look at home field advantage, like what are a couple things? I know David mentioned penalties, but where do you kind of draw the line in, hey, wins and losses, they do matter. We have to look at the record and say they obviously play better at home. But, like, there's so many other factors that go into it.
Absolutely. I think fans can keep teams in games, but players at the end of the day will win you football games. What do they say? A good crowd's worth a touchdown and a good band's worth a field goal. So you can get probably 10 points out of it. There's a lot of things you look into. And obviously, the first thing you look into is penalties. Right, the away team, how many penalties, false starts, illegal motions, those type of things, and communication in a style where an offense runs. You know, is it an up-tempo, quick signals, get it out, or is it a huddle-up? Look, you can only do much as a crowd. You can only do so much as a fan. At the end of the day, the coaches and players have to win the game. And you brought up Jordan Heron. That's a great place to bring up Bermuda Triangle of football, but it doesn't matter. Look, it doesn't matter. In the clutchest moments, players will have to go out and win you games. You saw that in Oklahoma. And that's what great teams do. And some teams prefer to play on the road, right? Yeah. They like to go on the road. And look, it's great to score in front of your home crowd and get everybody going. But you know what's better than that? Shutting everybody up. That's as a player, exactly right. That's what I enjoyed.
And a game this weekend that we're going to get into and break down. Remember, the phone lines are going to open 2:45 p.m. Central. We want to hear from y'all, 1-855-236-3228. We're going to get into the chat, the YouTube chat, Daily Wire chat, all that stuff. But Ole Miss, South Carolina this weekend. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss dropped a game where they felt like they were the better team at home, and you got to give Kentucky their flowers, obviously. And some people, and I've gone on some Ole Miss shows, and I've talked to some Ole Miss people, are like, oh no, now we got to go on the road. But to the point that you brought up, and something we talk about a lot here, that may be the best thing for Ole Miss. One, Lane Kiffin's gone radio silent on social media after last week, remember.
Following my man's advice.
Yeah, that's crazy how that
works. By the way, how's the over-under? What's the over-under today? Is it 1.5?
Yeah, we're going 1.5 today.
One and a half today. Okay, so, but if I'm an Ole Miss fan, like I'm telling you guys right now, this may be the best case scenario because nothing brings a group of guys together like realizing, hey, we're going to have to leave the confines of where we feel the safest to go out and play in a game you have to win. The preparation level, knowing you're going out on the road and playing a good team, a quality team on the road in a hostile environment, it locks you in even more. Like, there's teams that are super focused every single week, but the human condition is the human condition. And knowing that if I was, and I'm not trying, I hate to make this comparison sometimes, but I think it's the only one I can think of. War and football are different. Mm-hmm. But if I was going to have to go fight a war on somebody else's turf, my preparation to be locked in to know the ground, the lay of the land, where they're at. You know, you hear them talk about D-Day, how they had everything, like from the hedgerows to everything laid out right there. So they knew and they had to prepare and focus. If I'm here, I've got to be here. This is there. At home, I don't have to worry about that. I know where everything else is. It just does something. It locks you in a little bit more going on the road. And I think that might benefit Ole Miss this week.
Let me ask you this, since we don't talk about this a lot and you were a defensive coach, you know, we think about communication only being an offensive thing. But when the crowd is really, really loud, the defense has to communicate too. And you, I think you said something recently, I don't know how you put it, but, you know, when the crowd is really loud, like that affects the defense, affects the home team defense, but the away offense. How did you guys manage your communication when you knew that that's when the crowd was going to be the loudest?
Well, I always hoped that we would play in front of a smart crowd that knew when their team was on offense to, hey, shut up.
Yes.
Don't talk. Don't screw up our own offense. I mean, why do you think the quarterback does this?
But I'm like, talking about the flip side of it.
No, and I'm
like, when they're trying to be as loud as possible because the away offense is on the field, that's still your home defense, but they have to communicate too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So you're talking about if I was at home. I thought you meant when we were going on the
field. No.
Sorry,
if you're at home and you're the defensive coordinator.
Again, you have to get the calls in, right? But calling a defense in most cases, not in every case, is a little bit simpler than calling an offense because defense is reactionary. I can tell the guy a call that I want. I know the personnel. I have the guy up top telling me or down low, wherever, depending on where I'm at as the DC, hey, it's 11 personnel. All right, I know my calls to 11 personnel. I've got my sheet. I know their tendencies. But until they line up, then the checks get made, right? It's a reactionary thing from a formation standpoint because you can line up in one formation, right? You can line up in 11 personnel and be in doubles. Or deuce, as we called it, out of 11 personnel, because true doubles is out of 10 personnel. But if you motion that tight end back into the hip, that's going to change the call. So the calls weren't as long. Like when you do your huddle ups and you're those calls that Loeffler and them told you, they're pretty long. You're basically telling everybody what to do. Defensively, the calls typically aren't that long and the checks are very quick. And we would have hand signals as well on the checks, depending on, you know, if it was the secondary or it was the front seven. But then you have some defenses that are like what Gary Patterson did at TCU, where you had a different call for each level. Mm. You actually had three different calls and they would have to marry up. So everybody would have to know it. But I never worried about that as much. Now going on the road.
You just wanted the crowd to be as loud as possible.
I wanted the crowd to be as loud as possible.
Okay.
And I would always tell my guys, listen, if we're all wrong, we're all right. If we are going to screw up the call, let's all screw up on the same page. Mm-hmm. If I wanted cover three and you called cover two, let's make sure that everybody's running cover two. I don't want us to be wrong, but if we're going to be wrong, everybody be wrong. Because if we're all wrong, we're all right, and we can at least be sound. I may not like what we're running to the look we're getting, but God forbid, at least we are sound in the back end and in the whole defense as a defensive coordinator having to call it all. But going on the road, you always wanted a smart crowd. You wanted a crowd that would be like, hey, we're on offense, everybody be quiet. Well, then it makes the communication a lot easier for us defensively because the crowd is smart. The other thing that used to worry me about going on the road as a defensive guy was the officiating. Because a crowd can have an effect. Like, again, referees, they're not supposed to, but they are human beings as well. I mean, they're supposed to be human beings, but they're supposed to be even. It doesn't matter road or away. It's amazing how many late flags you get on you defensively on the road. Because all of a sudden, there's a pass down the sideline. And it may be pass interference on the defense. It may not be. But all of a sudden, the crowd roars. Everybody's going nuts. And that ref just panics and throws the flag. Mm. Like, those are the two things that used to worry me the most. But I used to love the act of going on the road, right? Getting on the bus, going to the airport if we have to fly, or driving the bus there. When I used to just, it was different. It was a different vibe. It's like you're going to invade somebody. It's like the Vikings, man. Like, they just used to go take your stuff, take all what they wanted, and then claim it as theirs. That's what I like. And the speech, and the speeches before going on the road, being in the hotel before the game, in the defensive meetings, talking to the guys. Because defense is different.
Oh, yeah, we know.
It's different. Like, it's
different.
Not that offense be aggressive and physical and all that stuff, but defense, you're like, I mean, you know what it is. Like, it's you want to be the aggressor. You want to throw the heavy punches. See, now y'all get me fired up. Like, now I'm starting to get, like, flashbacks. I loved going on the road. I loved taking the show on the road. I loved going to Tuscaloosa and doing the show. Half of them knew that we're Auburn fans. They know that doesn't factor in our analysis. But I like going there. I don't know. Part of me likes that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what you're going to like. You're a sports better. Or maybe you're thinking about, well, do I want to dabble? Do I want to stick my toe in the water, see how it feels, play a game of, you know, hold on, I'm a little nervous. You need to check out betonline.ag today. You may have a couple other sports books. I'm not going to say their names. It's like saying Voldemort around here. I'm not doing it because there's only one great one, and that is BetOnline. Add it to your repertoire. If you don't have one, This needs to be your first kiss. And if you head over to betonline.ag to place your bets today and you use promo code Booster, you get a 50% sign-up bonus of up to $250. They even got bets that aren't about sports. I mean, there's an election coming up. If you want to throw some coin on that, you know, be our guest. They got it over there. If it is going on, if it's a competition, they're probably going to have a spread on it. I threw a parlay out yesterday. Don't need to tell me on. Missed the 13-legger last week because Ole Miss totally forgot. But you don't need to forget to go to betonline.ag. Use promo code Booster. Get that 50% sign-up bonus of up to $250. BetOnline, where the options are endless. And so is the
so
fun.
Let's get to the chat.
All right, chat, hit that subscribe button. If you donate, it'll be on topic. It will get read on this beautiful Dragon Friday. We're going to start the day off with Titan. What's up, brother? Says, this is exactly what happened with Utah playing Arizona last weekend. The crowd was a very big factor, but as the game went on, the crowd slowly got silent and more silent, and you could tell it was going down.
Yeah, and obviously Utah not having Cam Rising hurt, but it's, again, I always tell the story, Dave, and I've told it on here about when we went to play Tennessee, and we were a 45-point underdog. 45-point underdog. They were laughing because we had just, it was first year in Division I. It was basically a startup program at South Alabama, and we go out there, and they're running through the tee. I mean, Coach Jones is giving the pregame speech. We're under the stadium, and people are stomping. There's dust coming down. It was like out of a movie, man. I can remember it like it was yesterday, and we're just on a knee in the gravel underneath right outside the visitor's locker room. And we run out there, and it's so loud. And, David, I'm sure it was like this at Michigan, even though Michigan's not one of the loudest places. When you're on the field, it's so loud, it's one audible noise. Like, you couldn't hear individual noise. It's one audible noise of just, like, it's absolutely incredible. And we get the ball first, go straight down the field, and Ross Matheny scores a touchdown. And all of a sudden, all those Tennessee fans, and it was packed out. This was like early in Butch Jones' tenure. They're just quiet. And you look up, and there's like 45. And it might as well have been, look like one person in a sea of orange, but red, like doing the pom-poms. Like, and it is just, it's like that part on Kenny Powers when Stevie's like, I feel 10 feet tall right now.
All right, let's go to Balak 13. He says, how big of a crowd can Missouri do today to make Texas A&M struggle with a new quarterback?
Well, Missouri's going to Texas A&M.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's going to be loud in that one.
Flip it the other way.
Yeah. Again, a lot of it is early, too, right? You want to throw that punch early. Because if you let that crowd, they've been hanging out all day, right? And even if it's an 11 o'clock game, they've been drinking. They've been gassed up about it all week. People are getting their, you know, tailgating lots on Wednesday, whatever, the RVs are rolling in. If you feed into what they hoped would happen, it can turn into a nightmare very quickly. It can go the other way very quickly. But if you come out and you throw that first punch and you shut them up and you make them realize, hey, this team came to play, not only for them, but for your guys too. Like, your guys feed off. They're like, hey, dude, look at all, they had all this, all these flags are flying, all these people around here and the team we're playing's the colors, forget that, we can do this. So a lot of it is early as well.
Let's go to Barry. He says, so you're telling me that Auburn has a chance on the road?
You always have a chance, but let me go back to my personnel argument. And circumstances matter too. I mean, look at what Georgia's coming off of. You always have a chance, but even if Auburn plays well, they'll find a way to screw it up.
All right, let's go to I'm Hogged Out. He says, does Arkansas home field advantage change anything versus Tennessee? I don't think it does.
Couple points.
Well, it's...
Couple points.
Flaming Dragon, the point you brought up, this tempo. Like, when you're going that fast, like, look at Georgia last week. When did they start doing well offensively? Well, it's when they started going fast. Because when you go fast, the thinking leaves, right? It's simpler to get it in. Right, get the play call in. You're getting lined up. You probably don't have as many plays. You run through. A lot of them are more base plays when you're going that fast, including Tennessee, which their repertoire of plays that can run out of going fast is kind of what separates them in that world. But I actually think it mitigates a little bit of the crowd. Regardless of the crowd, they can't block for Taylen Green and Jaquindon Jackson this week, and that's the thing that would worry me the most if I was in Arkansas.
And when you go that up-tempo, one thing you don't do a lot of on offense are trades and motions.
Motions,
right?
Yes.
And that's one thing that I try and stay away from on first drive. I say it like I'm not an offensive coordinator, but I wouldn't be big on calling a lot of trades and motions on opening drives because you're already making things more complicated when the noise level is going to be at its loudest.
And you know another thing that I find – one of the most underrated, impressive things about an up-tempo team that goes fast are the teams that can go up-tempo and go fast and still hard count you. Like, that's the stuff that's hurts, because think about how much discipline that takes as an offensive player to, hey, we're going warp speed, but I'm also signaling in, hey, this hard count. Now, they may just have one word or whatever, and then it turns into a check with me on the sideline. Mm-hmm. But as a defense, that, because you're trained all week, like, hey, they're going to go. Like, we got to get lined up and we got to go. Then all of a sudden, they get seven on, they get a first down, which is a lot of times when teams really start going tempo fast, it starts to waterfall. Then they get seven on first down at second and three. They're running up to the line. We're trying to get the call in. They're like, ready, hit! And then they hard count you. And you're like, your guys are, that's why you see them jump offside so quickly.
All right, let's go to the jelly man. He says, how much does a field's color matter? I'm a Boise State fan.
Not much. I'm more worried about what color shoes the receivers are wearing to what it looks like on the sideline. So if it comes down to a review or something, but the color thing doesn't matter. That's just something that makes it cooler to talk about before the game. But speaking about talking about games, David, let's get some of these previews.
All right, let's start with one tonight. We got UNLV undefeated 4-0, cracked the top 25 for the first time since they've been Division I, hosting Syracuse 3-1. And, you know, their only loss so far was that Stanford game.
Yeah, I want to ask our Syracuse fans in the chat. I know we got a decent amount of them. Are there some injuries that I can't find? Because I've got all the respect in the world for UNLV and what they did last week with the backup quarterback coming in, with Sluka, you know, quit on the team, for lack of a better word, regardless of how you feel about it. That's what happened. Why is Syracuse a 6.5-point dog in this game?
Right now it's 5.5.
It's down to 5.5?
Your point's still valid, though.
I wonder how far that thing's going to dive before kickoff, because I don't think Kyle McCord's hurt. And I like UNLV and that go-go offense, even though it is a heavy run offense. I know the backup came in and was able to do some things. But, man, I'm telling you, I like Syracuse tonight.
To win outright?
I kind of like Syracuse outright. Mm. You know, Kyle McCord's not going to be and much love to UNLV and getting this program off the ground and really turning into the running Rebs. And I know it's going to be electric tonight because they're fighting for that playoff spot as a Group of Five team. But Kyle McCord's not going to be shocked to go into this environment or you know, be scared or worried. And they've got a couple guys and a couple weapons on the outside they got to get going. And I like UNLV, but man, I think Syracuse taking a money line isn't a crazy thing. But if you can get him at 5.5, you can get him at 6.5. I mean, at 6.5, I bought it up, guys, to plus 7.5, and I felt great about it. I'm interested to see how well Syracuse can stop the run.
That's what it is.
Because if you stop the run, you stop UNLV, right? It goes back to what we talk about all the time with these, you know, Brennan Marion's an OC that's a really hot name right now. But even Josh Heupel, Sarkisian, Lane Kiffin, Lincoln Riley, all these guys that have great offenses, they want to run the ball, right? They understand the importance of running the ball, and so does UNLV. But I like the size of Syracuse in the seam and on the outside. And Kyle McCord hadn't played great, I don't think, the past couple weeks. He's due to have a good game. I like Syracuse.
Who are you taking?
I like Syracuse in this game, too. And you'll see later in the show, that's actually one of my bets to outright win. And the one thing I do worry about in this game, if you've looked at Syracuse the past couple weeks, they can't stop the run.
Yeah.
I mean, UNLV can't do anything. They're going to be able to run the ball in this go-go offense. But it's kind of different. It's a little Jekyll and Hyde if you look at the Syracuse team. You go back to the Stanford game, I believe you have 40 yards rushing. You gave up 170 on the other side. But if you go to the Georgia Tech game, you have over 100 yards rushing. You hold Georgia Tech to, I believe, 80 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. So which Syracuse team is going to show up? To me, you're going to be on the road. I think Kyle McCord can be the difference in this game. I think he hadn't played great. Obviously, he played a team you killed last week. But we've seen Kyle get to that top tier where we kind of expect him to be. And I think Fran Brown, from a mental standpoint, can talk to Kyle and get him where he needs to be. I like Syracuse, the athletes they have on the outside, but which team's going to show up in the box?
Yeah, that was that game against Stanford. That was Kyle McCord's worst football game that I had seen him play, at least. So I'm interested to see if that's an anomaly.
He played so good against Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I know. Oh. And that was a huge win for them. And I took Georgia Tech in that game. So I'm interested to see if they're able to bounce back from that. But Haj Malik Williams, the quarterback for UNLV, who stepped in for Sluka, 300 total yards against Fresno State, 4 total touchdowns. I'm going to stick with UNLV and see if they can keep this magic going.
Do you think they cover the 5.5?
I am going to take a -5.5. I took it at -5.5 on an alt line when it was at 6.5, what you're talking about, but it is down to 5.5 now. It's a little bit more risky, but I'm going to take them to win the football
game. And it's crazy bringing up that Stanford game. Kyle threw for 340 yards.
Yeah.
He touched that. You had 26 yards of rushing. You're not going to win football games.
No. Agreed. No. All right, next one up here. Let's go to South Carolina hosting Ole Miss. We've been talking about it all week. Time to make some predictions.
You know, we've talked about it on both sides, what it means for South Carolina, what it means for Ole Miss. You know, I always go with my gut, my instinct on what I think is going to happen. You know, sometimes when we analyze these things, you can overanalyze it. You can overthink it. The Lenora Sellers mobility point is the biggest one, I think, in this game. Because if he is able to run it effectively, not just when the play breaks down, which they need, which is one of the reasons they were able to move the ball against Kentucky, who's really done a good job of locking people up when it's kind of gone status quo throughout the game, but from a quarterback design run standpoint. Because where does that really rear its head? Well, on third and short, right? And on fourth and short. You're able to get a hat on a hat, truly. You feel better about it. You can do some different things. We saw Bama run the power read against Georgia all the time, and it worked multiple times that they did it. So I like South Carolina to cover in this game, but something is telling me that Ole Miss is going to show up and show up big. I think the lines of scrimmage were embarrassed last week on both sides, and that's kudos to Kentucky. And look, South Carolina's defensive line can get after your ass. So it would not shock me at all if Jackson Dart was off time and off rhythm a little bit like he was against Kentucky. But I think this Ole Miss defense is going to show up ready to play. I think they're going to put Sellers in a position to where it's like, hey, you're going to have to show us that you can throw it to beat us legitimately. I think you may see some more one high this week, even on third down and passing, more than you saw against Kentucky, because that's where Kentucky was gutting them. I think it's going to be a close game. I wouldn't be surprised if this was a very low-scoring, physical game. But Ole Miss knows deep down they pretty much have to have it. Because you can say what you want. If Ole Miss loses this game and they do win out and beat LSU and they beat Georgia, they could probably still get into the playoff. I kind of misspoke a little bit earlier in the week about it. But the point I was trying to make was if you lose this one, I don't think you're beating both Georgia and LSU. Because these are two of your biggest tests that you've had, one at home, one on the road, that aren't against the top of the top in the SEC, regardless of what fans of that team think. And you failed both of them. So I think South Carolina covers, but I think Ole Miss finds a way to win this game. I would not be shocked if it went to overtime, but give me Ole Miss to win, South Carolina to cover.
Take South Carolina over there.
South Carolina money line. Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? Look, you play Kentucky. You're playing a better version of Kentucky this week. That's what you're playing. I see the common opponent, right? And who is that? Kentucky. And South Carolina kicked their ass. South Carolina probably has the best defensive line maybe in the country. Maybe in the country.
Better than Tennessee's?
It's up there for sure. I bet they have more sacks and probably have more pressures. And you're young, right? And where is this game? This is at South Carolina, right? So if anything, we talked about it earlier, maybe a touchdown, a little extra right there. And you had a great point. A lot of this is going to come down to if Lenora Sellers can be Lenora Sellers and run the football and put pressure on the edges of this defense at Ole Miss. But I watched Ole Miss last weekend, and Kentucky took it to them up front. Took it to them up front, and what travels? Defense. And this game is at home. It's at home. I don't know how South Carolina's given 10.5 points in this game.
Yeah.
South Carolina, money line to me.
That's what worries me about Lenora's health. Like, because Vegas knows. They used to know about injuries that we had that nobody else knew.
God, that's what you see. You guys are all over all the points on this, and I'm really torn on this game, and I'd love to know, like, how healthy is he? 6 weeks into college football season, no one's 100% healthy, especially if you're coming off an injury. So is it 95%? Is it 75%? Because there's a big difference in that. I really do like South Carolina to cover, but I'm going to side with you on this one and go with an Ole Miss bounce back. Just if we're talking outright winners, I'm going to go with Ole Miss bounce back. I haven't sold this team completely down the river yet, and let's see if that Kentucky loss was them just underestimating how good Kentucky's defense was. Let's see if they weren't focused, or let's see maybe they're fraudulent and South Carolina comes out and beats them by two scores.
And just to put a bow on it, David, the one thing that worries me about me and your pick is Shane Beamer and special teams seems, since he's been at South Carolina, to always find a way in one of these games. Remember LSU and what the special teams did in that game as well. I'm just, what worries me about picking Ole Miss, and I'm still picking them, is all of a sudden Ole Miss comes out and they're up and they're looking good and South Carolina's fighting back and then South Carolina blocks the punt late, picks it up, scoops and scores, and now Ole Miss has to go 70 yards with 2 minutes to try and win the game or tie the game to send it to overtime. Special team scares me, but I know Ole Miss knows that, so we'll see how it goes.
All right, next one up here, Washington hosting Michigan. The line's been bouncing back and forth, was kind of even for a while, but even as we sit here right now, Michigan still dogs, plus 1.5 on the spread, plus 105 money line.
I'm a big Jed Fish fan. I think what he did at Arizona was incredibly admirable, and he earned that job at Washington after Kalen DeBoer left to go. But I feel like, and Flaming Dragon brought up this point. I want to act like I'm taking this from him. He was the first one that said it. Will Rogers was very clean in the pocket against Rutgers, and they still weren't able to find a way to put the ball in the red zone. This Michigan, the athleticism on the interior and exterior of this Michigan pass rush is very well coached, and they are better athletes than what Rutgers had. And Rutgers is incredibly well coached, and they do have good athletes. But what I worry about with Will Rogers, I go back to remembering at Mississippi State in games where he did face pressure. One, he's not able to get away from it very well. He can't extend the play from outside the pocket, and it doesn't take a lot for him to go down. I remember there were swipes that would sack him all the time, and I think Michigan, if Wink Martindale just, and again, Wink Martindale knows forgotten more about defense than I know. Like, he's been doing this for a long time at a very high level. But having all that knowledge, I think, has hamstrung Michigan's defense at points this year from a blitzing standpoint and the amount that they are blitzing against teams, especially on third down. In the NFL, yeah, right? You can't just sit here and say, well, we got better athletes than you across the board. Let's stay more base. Let's just rush four. We don't have to manufacture pressure. But at Michigan, most of the times with this defense, your athletes or your unit's going to be better, especially up front, than the unit they're going against. And Washington won the Joe Moore Award last year on the offensive line, but a lot of those guys are gone. If Michigan will just, you know, beat complexity with simplicity and you know, to quote Kerry Underwood, let Jesus take the wheel on defense, eventually that dam is going to break against Wisconsin, or excuse me, against Washington or Wisconsin for that matter.
Let's beat them too.
Yeah, I know. But I like Michigan in this game. I don't think Michigan's going to blow a lot of teams out. I was shocked that they let Minnesota come back the way they did with the way that Michigan's built. But I expect a big game on the ground in the second half from Michigan in this game. And I think Will Rogers makes a couple mistakes. I think Michigan scores a defensive touchdown like they typically. I don't think it may not be Will Johnson jumping anything. You're going to get double moved out the gym. But you know what double moves take, David? They take time. And I don't think he's going to have that time.
I want people to realize this isn't last year's Washington football team, right? You don't have those guys up front on the offensive line. Right, Michael Penix is not a quarterback. You don't have four NFL receivers running around. And this isn't Rutgers this week either. Rutgers is a good football team. They're going to do well this year. Hell, I had them win in nine
already
games.
Already are.
I had them win in nine games. But like, you're about to, like, this is, it's almost hell watching, other than Texas, watching quarterbacks on the other side have to play Michigan's defense.
Oh, Miller Moss.
Just
oh,
watching them, watching Miller Moss have to get off the ground every two plays. Guys, that does something to you as a quarterback. It really does. It's that clock in your head starts what? Start speeding up a little bit, and you start making what? Mistakes. And if you start forcing balls against these guys in the secondary, it can get ugly pretty quick. I got Michigan winning this football game. It's going to be a ground and pound four quarter. If Alex Orji throws it 18 times, I'm going to be livid.
Well, to Miller Moss's credit, not only did they peel him off the ground, he threw the go-ahead touchdown, that whole shot into cover two late in the game, but Michigan went down and scored. Didn't?
Well, the best way for Michigan to win this game is if I sat here right now and took Washington. Then they'd be a lock. But I also don't want to, I just got to be honest with what my gut feeling is on this. I like Washington's offense. I think they're going to be able to move the ball against Michigan in between the 20s, just like they did against Rutgers. The question becomes in the red zone. I've been really impressed in the last couple weeks with Michigan's red zone defense. And then like you guys talked about, I mean, man, it's one thing to line up against Michigan and that three-headed monster of Khalil Mullins and Donovan Edwards and Alex Orji coming at you for four straight quarters for 60 minutes. I was surprised that Michigan was underdogs in this game. I think they win the game outright, but maybe a little closer than a lot of people think.
Well, speaking of close, David, you know, if you want a close shave, a smooth shave.
I do.
There's only one razor, and there's a name in front of it. It's very, very well known in these circles. That's Jeremy's Razors.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, it's time to take a stand against the tide of mediocrity. You want excellence, right? Undefeated. National champion. Doesn't matter. And with the Precision 5 razor from Jeremy's Razors, it isn't just a damn good razor. It's a Declaration of Independence, man. It's just missing Nicolas Cage to put some lemon juice on the back of it to find that map. And with five meticulously crafted blades, they deliver a shave as bold as your convictions and as smooth as your ambitions. That line goes super hard. Reclaim your masculinity and show the world you won't be dulled by conformity. Stop giving your money to corporations that hate you. Choose the Precision 5. Order now at jeremysrazors.com. You can find us at walmart.com, baby.
Wow.
Or not .com, baby. Walmart.com and Amazon Prime. That's how you know it's real. It's like Drake said, you know it's real when you are who you thought you were. And you know it's real when you shave with Jeremy's Razors. All right. We're going to get to the chat in a minute, but we got to get to these previews.
All right, let's keep going here. Here's a game we hadn't talked about this week. This is Florida hosting UCF. UCF coming off that loss against Colorado. We didn't see Florida last week. They came off of a win against Mississippi State. So here's the line right now. +2 Florida, +105 on the money line.
How is this not just a pick 'em? Now, if UCF would have handled Colorado last week, okay, I could understand it. But they got bulldozed. And I know Florida's got problems. I mean, it's basically a therapy session every time Florida goes out there and plays. Believe me, I know. And Billy, his time, it's just a matter of time. If he loses this one, I don't think he makes it to the locker room after the game. I know they're going to do the two quarterback system with Lagway and Mertz. But part of me doesn't trust KJ Jefferson in this game. Like, he's played in the SEC. I've seen him in these games. And KJ, I'm not saying he's a bad player, but it's not like he's going to come out here and out-athlete everybody from Florida. And yes, it's like the underdog UCF, right, going against the state school in Florida. But man, after the way that Florida got embarrassed by Miami, and I know they're different teams, I like Florida in this one. Mm-hmm. I think Florida wins this game. I wouldn't be surprised if they win big. But, and this is another thing that Flaming Dragons brought up, and it's not, I'm not just giving it as kudos because it's Friday. The worst thing that could happen, you see that snap at the end? Mm-hmm. The bend and snap, cool style. What if Billy wins this game? Like, pull up their schedule real quick.
It's crazy you bring that up because I already have it up.
What is it?
You have UCS at home, and then you go get your ass kicked on Tennessee on the road.
Okay.
You have Kentucky at home. Hey, welcome Georgia at home. Then you go to Texas, and don't worry, there's LSU. Then you have Ole Miss at home, and then you're at Florida State.
Bye.
Yeah, Florida State is looking so tough.
I was gonna try and make the point. This is I like Florida to win. I think Graham Mertz has a big game. I think the running game for Florida shows up in this game against UCF, who tried to redo their whole defense through the transfer portal. I don't blame them because it was like Saban said, SHIT threw a tin horn last year with them on defense, but. I like Ford in this game. I think they get a big game on the ground and get a little bit of confidence before they put Billy on the raft while everybody sings on the shore with the torches lit and push him down the river.
How about you, man?
Yeah, pretty excited not to watch this game.
You're not going to watch this game at all?
You're not going to watch it?
I'm sure there's going to be other games on that are phenomenal at the time. So, two, has KJ Jefferson gotten worse?
I wasn't ever that big on him.
Things at Arkansas where you saw like, oh, damn. Okay.
Well, he was so inconsistent. Like, you'd have games where you're like, wow.
I just remember Arkansas fans clowning me that I didn't have him in the top 10 quarterbacks year before last.
People don't forget.
Then halfway through the season, I didn't hear from him anymore.
Look, I think Grant Merch should be the quarterback of Florida. I think he gives you your best option to win. DJ Lagway is a good piece. I get what you're doing, playing him so he doesn't get in the transfer portal. Trust me, that makes sense. If I'm going to bet this game, I'm going to bet the over. It's at 61.5. I think there's going to be a lot of points in this football game. I think KJ will look good. I think UCF will look good. But I think Florida has more athletes and a little bit more talented. So I would bet Florida money line and the over.
Man, we're all going to take Florida, huh?
Dude, I'm taking them.
I'm going to take Florida.
All right.
For the same reasons. I mean, you can't just lose to Colorado at home and then make me take you on the road SEC the next week.
I'm with it. But it's college football. Who knows? UCF win by 30.
They'll win by 45. Yeah, all right. Next one up here. Nebraska hosting Rutgers. Ooh. Let me get those lines real quick.
Well, the last time I saw it was 7. It was mm-hmm. on the dot at 7. Nebraska was a 7-point favorite. Over-under was 40.
6.5.
Why does the over kind of... Does 40 feel low to anybody but me? I know both these teams are, Nebraska's got a young quarterback, but they got capabilities on the outside with Nair and Banks, and I like what they have at tight end.
It's such a matchup thing.
It's a matchup. I agree. It always is. Styles make fights. We talked earlier in the week, the start of this game, if Nebraska can get up, right, or get up by a touchdown late or get up by double digits early, can Rutgers throw themselves back in the game if the defense isn't just playing great? I know Manunga is a hell of a player. I think he's going to be better than Pacheco in the NFL for talking about running backs out of Rutgers. But with Cali McManus, I feel like Tony White's going to say, here's what they do. They run the ball. They run their little play action off the split zone bluff that they absolutely gutted a team with it a couple weeks ago. Virginia Tech, as a matter of fact. I just don't know if Rutgers can throw their way back into the game. Nebraska lost their last home game, which was like their 400 straight sellout on a Thursday or Friday.
Illinois.
I can't remember which day it was against Illinois. I like Nebraska to win this game. As far as betting it, I'm not going to bet it. I don't trust the side or the total in this one. But on the flip side, what we talked about was Rutgers making Dylan Raiola beat him with his arm. That's what it's going to be in both these games. Both these DCs. Shiano is going to try and make Raiola beat him with his arm. I just think Raiola can. I know Tony White's going to try and make Callie McManus beat him with his arm. I don't know if Callie McManus can. And Nebraska's at home. Give me the Cornhuskers.
Who you going to take?
God, if you're Rutgers, you just hope this game goes into overtime.
Yeah.
It's a guaranteed win. It's a guaranteed win after Nebraska's performance. But look, these are one of the games I kind of like the under. I feel like both these teams are going to run the football. Run. And both these defense kind of are good, but not great. You saw it against Nebraska, against Illinois, and what they could do, especially outside passing. Beat up. The more I look at it, the more I like Rutgers, because I think Rutgers doesn't know how to win games late. Right? I think Greg Schiano know how to win games late. Yeah. I think Nebraska is still figuring that out. Matt Rhule will get there. They will with the talent and this coaching experience. But right now, I'm leaning Rutgers.
What's Nebraska's field goal kicking situation? Because remember, against Illinois, you know, their field goal kicker was hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
They had to kind of change that. Like, in a game like this, maybe low score.
Special teams really is tight. Huge in this
3
game.
Points is almost worth a touchdown.
Man, I'm leaning to what towards what you were saying right there. The best team that Nebraska played, the most complete team, was that Illinois team. And not only did they lose to them, they lost to them in a really ugly fashion late there with just an atrocious overtime. The two best team Rutgers has played, they beat them. I mean, they beat Virginia Tech. They beat Washington.
On the road.
And they've been a little bit more tested. I just like their style of football. I liked Nebraska earlier in the week, but as we sit here right now, I think I'll take Rutgers.
You just know exactly.
To cover or win?
I'm going to take them outright.
I'm taking them outright.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to bet it.
Yeah,
I'm not telling people to go get your rent money.
Look, yeah, Rutgers plus 7.5, whatever, -35, maybe the best bet.
I know exactly what I'm going to get from Rutgers on every Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, a couple more here. Louisville hosting SMU. Hey, despite what SMU looked like at the beginning of the year, they're still 4-1. They're going to play Louisville 3-1, whose only loss is to Notre Dame. That line -6.5. That one's a lot, too. 56.5 over under.
Permission to make a point of order.
You're waiting for this. God, he's waiting for this.
Point of privilege.
SMU loses this game, it's their first conference loss.
Correct.
Okay. This is actually a game I had them losing. Like the one conference game I had them losing before the season on the road at Louisville. Every time I say bad things about SMU, after I said good things about them before the season, they play really well. So I'm going to say a bunch of bad things about SMU.
Good for you.
Okay. Louisville last week against Notre Dame. Turned the ball over, what, 3 times in the first quarter? Killed them. Still had a chance to win the game. I still think this Louisville team is a really good football team. They hadn't really turned the ball over before that. And you've got to give Notre Dame credit. I don't think they're going to turn it over at that rate. I like that SMU is sticking with one quarterback now after the, you know, the merry-go-round they had at the beginning with Jennings and Preston Stone. Now it's kind of Jennings' show, and that team seemed to kind of find a little bit of an offensive identity. I mean, it's a lot easier to do that when you're playing Florida State. That's a story for another day. I think it's, you know, this could be a high-scoring game, actually. We've talked about Louisville's defense, and I still got respect for Louisville's defense. The offense put them in some bad situations last week. But I think Tyler Shuck and that crew don't turn it over. I think SMU does turn it over a couple times. I think Louisville scores a special teams touchdown in this game. I'm going to take Louisville, SMU. Hope everybody heard that. I don't think you're going to play good.
But in your heart.
Huh?
In your heart. Deep down in your heart, you got SMU winning.
I don't show people that.
Yeah, you do. No,
there's only one person
that's locked away.
She's at work right now.
Well, you know, you bring up a lot of things. And one thing I was impressed with SMU, especially last week, I know it's Florida State, which is just crazy to say they're a cupcake now. But yeah, you ran the ball extremely well. Extremely, extremely well. And if you do that week in, week out, you're only going to get better. You go with Jennings at quarterback, who's obviously progressing. But God, man, Louisville's a good football team. I love their coach, man. And I know the Notre Dame game was bad. If you watch it, they basically beat themselves. But I still believe in the fabric of Louisville and what they're about. I like Louisville in this game, and I believe they cover.
All right. Well, I took Louisville outright against Notre Dame, and they let me down. It's something that, honestly, I will never forget. But I am going to give them a second chance because I'm a forgiving person. But there will not be a third chance. Mm-hmm. Okay? There will not be a third chance.
Fool me once.
Yeah. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Can't get fooled again.
Pretty good trick.
Yeah, it is. You fooled me 3 times. Yeah. After you fooled me the second
Louisville,
time.
Good money That's line, good. But That's you are on thin team. Ice, Cardinals, so remember that. All right, last one here. Texas A&M hosting Missouri. Sign me up.
Can't wait to watch this and not bet it. We talked about it earlier in the week. I thought our preview and breakdown was the best one you're going to find on A&M.
Damn right.
Talked about A&M. They love to get vertical on the defensive line, even against the run, which people are like, yeah, you want to get in the backfield on the defensive line. Yes, you do, but there's levels to it. I'm interested to see how Missouri's zone game in the run game works with when you create levels like that, getting in the backfield, you know, very quickly and abruptly. But I think the difference in this game, and one thing that we talked about in the breakdown and preview before, is that the teams that, and this is how it typically is, the offenses that have given Missouri's defense the most trouble are offenses with a mobile quarterback that can throw it decent enough to be considered a dual threat, whether that's Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt. I know they didn't score a million points, but they're able to move the ball. And then Thomas Castellanos in Boston College. You got that in Marcel Reed. I'm actually kind of leaning toward this being a high-scoring game. I'm starting to think it could be a high-scoring game. I feel like A&M finds a way at home. I think Brady Cook and Luther Burden have a good day. I think they put some points up, but I think Marcel Reed and Missouri's front seven, they're big and they're strong. I just don't think they're overtly quick. And if you're not quick, you can lose contain. Losing contain against Marcel Reed can be a death sentence because the kid doesn't turn the ball over, right? And he makes good decisions and can throw it well enough to beat you. I think A&M wins a thriller, a high-scoring game in College Station. Give me the Aggies.
I love it. That's a good pick.
God, I love this uniforms.
By the way, so fire. So fire. I'm going to go with Missouri in this football game. One of the reasons why, you have a guy at quarterback who's been there, who's done it, who's played in the big games, on the road, at home, bowl games, doesn't matter. And you have, I think, right now, you could put him probably top two as the best receiver in college football. And I think there's no excuse for Missouri that Theo Wise Jr. has seven more receptions and 60 more yards than Luther Burden Jr.
Well, I mean, they're probably
I don't care if you're doubled. You can scheme as an offensive coordinator to move guys and get them open in single coverage. If I'm Missouri and I'm Drinkwitz, I'm going to play a game of how many times can I get the ball into Luther Burden's hands. Because he is a difference maker, a game changer, can ruin a game for another team. Brady Cook, I trust him. Look, I know Marcel Reed's going to be a great piece, guys. He's going to be a great piece, but that piece takes time. I like Missouri in this football game. Give me Drink. Give me Brady Cook, and Luther Burden, the man, the senior, but we'll call him junior for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to take Missouri as well. I think some people were surprised how close Boston College played them, but not
good
us,
football
really.
Team,
I mean, they're ranked. They're 24th, and then some people were surprised how well Vanderbilt played them, but this isn't your grandpa's Vanderbilt anymore. Diego Pavia is out there running around. Before the season, we talked so much about Missouri being a good football team. Are they a great football team? We don't know, but we know their schedule's a little bit lighter. Well, this is one of those games. If you go on the road, and you're an underdog right now, if you're able to go on the road to College Station and win this game, I think you can send a message to the rest of the conference and the rest of the country that, hey, yeah, we're who a lot of y'all thought we were preseason. So I'm going to take Missouri right now, but it's going to be a heck of a game.
That's a very responsible explanation on why you're taking Missouri, David.
Pretty cute.
You know what that makes you?
A responsible man.
It does. Great catch there. That's what happens when you throw the alley-oop. What is responsible man? Flaming Dragon asks while typing furiously on his iPad.
What is responsible man?
Hey, Flaming Dragon, stop typing so furiously on your iPad.
Sorry.
Well, it's a multivitamin that has 33 key ingredients to support your immune system, sharpen your brain, and keep your heart and muscles strong. And it's got a nice minty flavor.
It does.
Right? You know that most of us, at least we don't, the three here, I would think, don't get the vitamins we need every day to operate at our highest level. All right? And I want to operate at the highest efficiency level, and that's what you get with Responsible Man. And it's got a nice, like, minty flavor. As I said, it doesn't...
what happened over there, Dave?
Smuggled over here on some, you know,
me.
Fast boat from Cuba. It's made right here in the USA, not outsourced, no cheap imports, just good old American quality, like the kind of football that we love. And right now, you can take advantage of Responsible Man's fall sale. Get 30% off your order plus an additional $9 off your first order. Just head on over to ResponsibleMan.com. Use code Booster, B-O-O-S-T-E-R, at checkout. But hurry, this deal's not going to last long.
Get them the chopper. The kindergartners. Get the kids. Sorry. You start with
Responsible. Remember, gentlemen, a strong America needs strong men, and strong men start with Responsible Man. So go to ResponsibleMan.com and use code Booster for 30% off plus $9 off your first order. All right, we're going to get to locks, leans, and dogs in a second, but I got to get to the
chat.
This always happens on Friday.
All right, let's go to Mr. Big Fish. He says, my biggest concern with Michigan at the point is that it looks like they're getting out-coached, especially out of the halftime break. Yeah. The team looks generally less disciplined, and the defense especially is making mental mistakes all over the field.
Yeah, and that's new. That's new because it was Michigan outcoaching other teams in the third quarter especially, but really the second half when Jim Harbaugh and Jesse Minter were there.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Let's go to Jack. What's up, Jack? Am I the only one that thinks the Nebraska-Rutgers game is going to be a slugfest?
Oh, no, you're not the only one. This is it's going to be like that game. Well, What do they call it where you have the football players on and you turn it on the board and it's like, wah, and the things just move like.
Oh, the hover game. God, yeah, I know you what you're know talking, what talking about. I can't remember what it's called. It's so fun to.
That's what this game's going to feel like.
The puck. It had the puck.
Yeah. $5. No, actually, it's going to tie the trees. Starting kicker is still hurt for Nebraska.
Okay.
Backup walk on miss three against Purdue. We ain't kicking no field goals.
Under. That makes my decision from the total. Under.
It's got a $5 donation from the Rocky Mountain Buckeye. What do we learn more about this weekend, the Buckeyes or the Ducks?
You know, I.
And that spread did come out with the Oregon-Ohio State game. I believe Ohio State is favorite.
2.5-point favorite. I saw that. I think Oregon's going to wipe UCLA. I think Oregon's been gaining momentum. I'm so excited for that matchup. I don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse. I feel like I got a good feel on Ohio State. It's just if I'm Iowa, again, as we talked about, we did a breakdown of that game earlier in the year, I'm going to have to make Will Howard throw the ball to beat me or at least try to. And he probably can with Egbuka and Jeremiah Smith. I don't know if it's much about Will Howard, but as much about those guys being able to run wide open if you funnel resources into the box. But I think we find out more about Oregon this weekend if they can keep the moment.
Oregon has Michigan State tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oregon has Michigan State.
24, 23 and a half.
Indiana's playing UCLA.
No, Indiana's got Northwestern. Ooh. On the road. UCLA, I don't know why I'm losing my mind.
Penn State. Sorry,
Penn State. That's right.
Yeah, you took
other
Penn State.
Big, other top.
Hey, Joey, have it. Keep calling in, brother. Your first time calling. We'll definitely try to get you in. Let's go to Jace Wells. What's up, Jace? Blaine, I know you, University of Florida versus UCF will be unimportant to you, but if I have to hear all the 2017 UCF fans crawl out of their graves in time for Halloween to torture me as an already broken Gator fan, I will cry.
This is a mostly pride game. Especially now that UCF looks to kind of be out of the Big 12 race and Florida was really never in the SEC race. This is a, hey, I just want to make sure that the little kid walking around the neighborhood doesn't think he can beat me up. That's if you're Florida right now, which I can get that. All right, let's get to locks, lanes, and dogs. We're going to get back to the chat, get to the phone lines. All right, my locks for this week. All right, pretty decent week last week. We've been really good on these all week. My locks, give me Georgia Tech -9.5 at home over Duke. I don't believe. I like Manny Diaz. He started out as a film guy, but he's not going to want to watch this movie. Give me the Ramblin' Wreck by at least 10 at -112. Then I'm going to take Army on the road at Tulsa.
Alt.
I think they're going to treat Tulsa like, you know, what Tulsa spells backwards. I'll let you figure that out. -9.5 at -153. Then my leans, give me Tennessee -13.5 at -120. I did have to buy that one down, but it's still -120. I like it. And then the Clemson total team points over 29.5 at -155. I think they at least drop a 30-piece with Cajun fries against Florida State on the road this weekend. And then my dogs.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Give me Florida money line +100. I'm going to take that plus money bet all the time. And then Stanford, right? Where they don't just plant the trees, they smoke them too, and then talk about academics against Virginia Tech at home at +260. What do you got, David?
All right, I like it. Let's start this thing off hot. I'm going to go with Oregon State -11 versus Colorado State -110. I don't think Colorado State is that great. Oregon State still playing with that chip on their shoulder and the Pac-2 out there. Give me that as one of my locks. Then I'm going to take Clemson -15. I actually got this -15.5 earlier in the week at +100, something like that, plus money. But right now it's sitting at -15, -108. I'm going to take that on the road against Florida State. Florida State starting a new quarterback, correct?
Correct.
Yes. All right. Now let's go to my leans. Tennessee -13.5. Look, Arkansas, Bobby Petrino putting up a lot of points over there. That all sounds great, but I'm going to take Tennessee -13.5. This isn't necessarily the defense that you start to figure things out against even when you're at home. USC -9 on the road against Minnesota. Those odds are -110. Give me that. I think Lincoln Riley, Miller Moss has a big game. I like them to cover that -9. Then for my dogs, Missouri money line +114 for all the reasons that we just talked about. What a win this would be for Drink to go on the road to Texas A&M and win. And then I'm going to go with West Virginia money. Moneyline, +124 at Oklahoma State, who's dropped their last two.
Yeah, he keeps doing that. It's not just going to be the coach's show Mike Gundy's doing at the Senior Living Center. What do you got,
Blake? All right, I love it. Hey, man, I watched that the other day. It was great. I love what we're going with the Tennessee boys. We all have Tennessee, correct?
Yep.
minus 13.5. We got to hit some locks this weekend. Minus 110. Then give me Clemson, minus 13.5. Bought that down a little bit. That's going off at minus 128. I believe Cade Klubnik and the boys will get it rolling. I'm going with USC, too. Little typo there. That's my fault. I'm going to get a minus 9 as well at minus 110. And then I'm going Boise State at home. Minus 26.5. I'm sorry. This kid at running back, I don't know how he doesn't win the Heisman. He's going over almost over two Bills a game. He just looks like a guy who's ready for the NFL. They're getting Utah State. All right, I believe in Boise State. Give me the boys and the David Cone, the Ann Arbor boys, Michigan money line, plus 104 quarters of hell, brother. That's what you're going to watch in that game. And look, Jake, we did this together, okay? Y'all, Louisville this, Louisville that. Louisville's going to do this. Give me Rhett Lashley and the boys.
I hope you're right.
SMU money line, plus 188. I think they figured it out.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I really do.
I hope
let's
you're
go,
right.
Let's go, baby. Let's
all
have
right,
a big
Lock's
weekend.
Leading to dogs.
Set on social media as well. All right, David, let's get to the calls. Before.
All right, let's see
fire.
Who's up first on the line. It is Matthew, and he's in Seattle. Matthew, talk to us on this Flaming Dragon Friday.
Yo, boys, this is Matthew, also Husky Cookie from the land of leftist cheers, Seattle, Washington. Ooh. How y'all doing?
Doing good. Making out that Chaz zone or what?
So I'm gearing up for the game tomorrow, and that's the game taking place in the most beautiful setting in all of college football, and that is the Husky Michigan game. So I wanted to ask y'all about, you kind of touched on it and the defensive battle and the trenches, but what's Michigan going to be able to have to do to stop Coleman at the running back position and Denzel Boston and Giles Jackson? That's a handful.
It is, but, you know, luckily Michigan's playing with a full deck defensively from a talent standpoint, and it's all over the place. I just think Michigan doesn't need to overthink it or try and funnel too many resources to different places. And then when they get him in the third down and passing, I'm not saying never pressure or rush three and drop eight. You got to mix in some pressures, but their pressure rate is almost half this year compared to what it was in the past at like 20-25%. You know, you don't want to have to send in extra troops if you don't need them. And it's the same way on third down and passing. I'd rather play two-man stunt the front because Will Rogers doesn't scare me running the ball. So I think it's more about, you know, if Washington can't run the ball, how are they going to supplement that? Probably with quick passes to get it out, especially if the quarterback's getting pressured. I just can't wait to see, you know, which Washington team shows up and which Michigan team shows up. And then also, if Michigan gets up, you know, are they going to make the same mistake they did last week and let Washington come back the way Minnesota came back? I like the Wolverines in this one, Matthew.
Also, it was big for Colston Loveland to come back last week. You know, just a big piece. And then also, while we're talking about this game, one thing we hadn't mentioned is kicking. Remember, Washington missed those three field goals against Rutgers, and Michigan's kicker's been one of their strengths so far this year.
And I do think penalties will play a huge part in this game. If you're Michigan, especially on offense, you want to stay on what? You want to stay on time. Third and three, third and two, second and four, second and fives. If Washington crowd can do anything to change that, Michigan get behind the chains, then the game changes a little bit.
Appreciate it, man.
Great
Thanks,
call,
Matthew.
Man.
Enjoy it, buddy.
Thank you, Matthew. All right, let's go to Josh in Boise, Idaho, man. We got the Northwest covered. Josh, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Josh?
Hey, just wanted your guys' thoughts on this. So, been watching Boise State for 15 years live. And seeing great running backs come through our program, like Doug Martin, Jay Ajayi, Alexander Madison, Ryan McNichols. Honestly, especially after last Saturday's game against Washington State, JT blows all of those guys out of the water. Yeah. Honestly, like seeing him run the way that he has that power combined with speed, with athleticism, everything else. I think he's the number one running back in the country. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be a top five running back in the NFL next year. And my question to you guys, Blaine, you kind of answered it already. I know he's a Heisman candidate. There's doubt in my mind because he plays for Boise with that schedule that he'll ever actually get the Heisman, even if he gets like 3,500 yards and like, you know, 40 touchdowns. There's a part of me that thinks they still won't let him in. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I think he's going to be a finalist regardless if he keeps up at this pace. But there's a couple things that are going against him right now. I think Boise probably has to make the playoff as a group of five team for him to actually win it. I think also when you look at it's a quarterback award. make no mistake, if Jalen Milroe goes undefeated in the SEC and balls out and wins the SEC championship, they're going to give it to the guy from Bama, the quarterback from Bama, over the running back from Boise State 10 out of 10 times, whether you think they deserve to or not. So if he can get past those things, he's going to have a chance to win it. But getting past those are going to be tough. Now, do I think he's probably the best player pound for pound at his position in the country? Without a doubt, I actually think him and Manungai from Rutgers are the two best running backs in the country. The dude's incredibly special, and kudos to him for staying at Boise when he could have made a lot more money out of the transfer portal if he decided to go somewhere like in Alabama or a Georgia or you know Ohio State or whatever, or even like to Ole Miss after Judkins left. So, no, kudos to him, and I hope he gets a fair shot at it. It's just he's got to thread a needle that has nothing to do with numbers on the field.
He's fourth in odds right now.
Yeah.
The Heisman is decided before the playoff starts, right? Because I kind of felt like if Boise were to win a playoff game, God forbid, right? Like if they were to win the 12 seed, that would give his chances a little higher, but they vote before that, right?
Yeah,
they vote around my birthday, the second week of December. But right now, he's fourth in the odds at plus 800. Only two quarterbacks ahead of him. That's Jalen Milroe and Cam Ward. Obviously, Travis Hunter right now is second. One thing when you talk about the playoff is interesting, though, is with more of those two or possibly three lost teams, they're staying alive for the playoff. It may give a team that has multiple losses more Heisman moments down the stretch of this season. But yeah, what you need is you need Colorado to lose a bunch of games. So it kind of takes Travis Hunter out of it because that's a big competition there. And Cam Ward and Jalen Milroe just not to be
quickly
you know,
too
elite.
Though. Let's think about this just for one second. I've seen nobody take this angle. How much would it help Boise State if it comes down to threading a you know the margin of error is so small between the group of five team they pick? Does Genty doing what he's doing help Boise State maybe get over the hump and get that spot in the playoff because they have a Heisman finalist over, let's say, maybe an 11-1 UNLV team or something like that that doesn't have a Heisman finalist? Because, again, this committee, I think it's a valid thing to maybe talk about.
100%, you guys. Like, I'm being honest. I've never seen so much hype for Boise State. This is not our best team we've ever had. Kellen Moore years, we were way better, but we are getting way more hype because of Genty this year. And I think if they had to choose, they would choose us. And that's not fair. You know what I mean? Because I think other teams could potentially be as good or better than us. But Genty could put us over the top if we win out, which I think we will.
Well, you need to root for Oregon.
If this kid stays on the same trajectory he's going right now, man, I just don't know how you don't give it to him.
Well, it's that
he's like he's averaging a first down a carry.
Flaming Dragon, I get it. I get it. But if Jalen Milroe balls out in the SEC, they're giving it to the guy from Bama. They're giving it to him. The only way that he could win it in that scenario is if he was on Bama and Jalen Milroe was at Boise State. Like, that stuff matters. So, great call.
Appreciate it, Josh. Yeah. All right, let's go to Kendall in Ohio. Kendall, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Kendall, what's up, man?
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, man.
I'm what you call a pessimistic fan. That's probably because I was born in Cleveland. And would like to have you guys possibly talk me off the ledge on how the Cleveland Indians, not Guardians, could win the playoffs this year.
Ooh. Well, look, baseball's a funny sport. All it takes is a couple bounces and be in clutch. I don't think they're going to win it. You know, I hate to say this as a Braves guy. You know, the Mets are playing the Phillies, but I still like the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers are finally going to get over that hump and win the whole thing. You got to catch a couple breaks, man. I mean, it's the pitching, the bullpen, obviously, is going to have to be something that comes through for y'all down the stretch. And then it's timely hitting. But, you know, at least you've got – not that nobody, you don't have a chance in Cleveland. I just think when it comes to the pecking order, man, it's going to be tough.
Up against the Tigers.
You got to beat the Tigers, man.
A lot of magic in Detroit right now.
Yeah, I know.
It's hot, definitely, for sure.
For sure. Well, Scooble, you might as well write that one down as a loss right now against that cat the way he's throwing.
Whew, you for sure. But yeah, I appreciate you guys. Love what you guys are doing. Keep up the good work and keep spreading the word.
Definitely, man.
Thanks, Kendall, brother. Appreciate it, man. All right, let's go back to Seattle and talk to Ethan. Ethan, what's going on?
Hey, boys. I am worried about this Rutgers game for pretty much all the reasons that you guys said earlier. And it's funny because Blaine said that Rutgers hopes this is a game that goes into overtime. This is not a happy bit of trivia, but can you guys guess when the last time Nebraska scored a point in overtime?
Wow.
So he okay for him to bring points, for him to bring this
it has
up,
to be a while.
It has to be a long time.
I'm gonna say we're 2024. I'm gonna say 2011.
Scored a
point? I'm gonna say 93. Good God!
Scored a point. All right, I'll go. You said 2011. I'm gonna be more conservative. How about 2016?
Okay, right in between Jake and David there. 2014, you have to go back 10 years.
We're that's still incredible.
That's a long time, though. Hey, you went for it all, though, Flaming Dragon.
No,
you went for
Flaming
it.
Dragon
I'm not
going to
tip
it.
My I'm not going to
He knew
tip
that stat. That's why I said he said.
I'm not going to tip my put my tip of my foot in the water, baby. I'm jumping in.
So I'm nervous about a close game. I think we have a shot. I mean, it's basically just strength on strength with both these teams. But, I mean, I don't know. For me... We got to break through on the close games eventually, right? Like,
you say that, but you're talking to two Auburn fans, so I don't know positive reinforcements you're going
to
get.
To me, though, and I know Raiola missed that guy against Illinois. You threw it to your fourth string tight end. He was wide open, and Dylan's got to make that throw. But I just feel like even though he's young, if it comes down to a quarterback making a big time pass at the end of the game, I still take Raiola over Cali McManus, and I'm gonna ride on that train.
That's such a crazy stat to me, dog. Y'all haven't kicked a field goal in overtime since 2000.
Yeah, we played terrible in overtime. We have not scored. So
is this a thing? I didn't know this was a thing.
I didn't either.
This opened up a can of worms.
Wow. I could see it against Illinois.
Yeah.
That was goodness as bad gracious. As I've ever seen it, man.
Oh my goodness.
Appreciate it, Ethan. Hey, call in next week after the game, all right?
Thank you, boys.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
All right, man. Let's go to Baltimore and talk to Jack. Jack, what's going on?
Fellas, how are we doing on this Flaming Dragon Friday?
Oh, it's always
I am Dragon.
Personal time. He is Dragon.
So, Flaming Dragon, I'm actually calling him for you, man. You and I had that bet between my O's and your Yankees, and unfortunately, the Yankees won. As much as it breaks everyone, except for yours hard, I know. Well, I'm calling to settle up, but I, for the life of me, cannot remember. Did we say 100 or $130? What was the bet?
Oh, it was 1,000.
I'm pretty sure. I'll send you my Venmo after this. If I recall, it was $22.50. Not $22, $2,250. I'm sure it was 100. Hey, look, you don't have to donate anything. All right? If you keep calling in the show,
go buy some merch.
You hit that like and subscribe button. All right? And I see you in here every day. Every day. For 2 weeks, we'll call it.
And buy a candle.
Yeah.
And send me $300.
Jack, were you the guy talking about crab cakes in Baltimore?
Oh.
Yeah, I was actually calling in about that as well.
So what's up with Fadley's crab cakes? You don't like them?
Fadley's is mid.
You want the How is it mid?
I've been hearing that a lot.
Trust me.
You hadn't been hearing any.
I heard it on the way here today.
You born and raised here? Because I am.
Yeah, dog.
So
born and raised there, dog.
No, but just last week, I had Fadley's crab cakes and Papa's crab cakes. I had them both, and Fadley's was better.
Look, just don't trust a man's taste buds who likes candy corn.
That is true.
What are you talking about?
He eats petroleum every Halloween.
That should tell you, I'll try anything.
Yeah.
I love food, Jack. That should tell you my taste buds know exactly what's going on.
He likes that German rat meat.
Right?
Scrapple, too.
Dude, Scrapple, exactly. See?
The Scrapple went bad.
That's a Baltimore thing.
Scrapple actually wasn't
Jack, that's a Baltimore thing, isn't it?
Scrapple went bad.
Fair. But just hear me out on this, all right? If you boys ever find yourself in Baltimore, two things you got to do. Number one, you got to go to Pandas down on Taylor Avenue. That's the OG point. And then number two, you got to go to G&M a little bit further down in Halethorpe. It's just outside of the city limits. Those are the best two crab cakes consistently
voted
by the locals every single year.
You know what I'm going to do? Let's go back to our deal. All right? The deal is now this. If I'm ever in Baltimore, I'm calling you, all right? And we're going to eat all the good food you're talking about right now.
Wow. Appreciate it, Jack.
Gladly.
If Fadley's is mid, brother, I don't know what to say, man. This is the best I've ever had, but we appreciate it, man. All right, let's go to another Jack, but in Minnesota. Jack, you like crab cakes or what?
I've honestly never really had them. I've never been out east.
Next caller.
No, look, you don't.
This is a food show now, Jack.
You don't go to Minnesota to get crab cakes. You go to Minnesota just to get crabs.
Yes, that is true. But David, first, before I say anything, candy corn, God tier. It is excellent. It
Take
is
off you, Jack. Get them off Thank you, phone. Jack.
All y'all are haters.
That's why they are.
Good, yeah.
And it's October, it's too. So Thank you.
Yes.
Golly, it's not like it's my favorite food, but come on.
I did want to talk about one thing that I've just been fuming over for the past couple weeks.
Hold on. You've been fuming over it? You've been fuming over it?
Oh, look at this guy.
Hey, Jack, you've been fuming over it?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, guess what? Have you guys heard that flavored air is quickly becoming the leading alternative to vaping and smoking?
No way.
This new movement toward building better habits is led by one of our sponsors, Fume. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that uses flavored air instead of vapor. It isn't like vaping. Get that out of your mind. All right, if vapor was compared to sticky soda, Fume cores are closer to herbal teas.
Yeah,
I'm telling you guys, it's a fantastic product. They continually invest in third-party studies to ensure the safety of their products, too, so you don't have to worry about that. They've served over 300,000 customers, and you can be the next success story. And for a limited time, use code BOOSTER to get a free gift with your journey pack. Head to tryfume.com. That's tryfume.com. And use code BOOSTER to get your free gift with your order today. I'm telling you guys right now, they've got some great flavors, crisp mint, orange vanilla, maple pepper, and sparkling grapefruit. And shout out Jack for the segue. Great job. Continue. Great job.
First ever live call ad read.
That's how we do it here. That's how we do it here, Jack. Go ahead, buddy.
I'm very honored. So I just had to talk about Minnesota sports. Just the past couple of weeks, I'm just so tired of Minnesota sports. I've been a Minnesota fan my entire 26 years of life. And I knew for the last 32 years in Minnesota, we have not had a championship except the Lynx, but nobody watches them. But there is no redeeming factor of any Minnesota sports that I can see.
The Vikings?
Sam Darnold's leading the NFL right now, isn't he?
How many times do you think I've seen this movie every single time? The Minnesota Vikings start off great. They're so great. The last time they were truly great, though, was 2009 when we had Brett Favre and that whole scandal and everything like that. That was the last time Minnesota fans were probably somewhat hopeful. But other than that, since 1991, Minnesota Twins fans and Minnesota sports fans in general have never been happy. The biggest achievements, quote-unquote achievements, that I've seen as a Minnesota fan is that we break a 20-year playoff losing streak and go to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in 20 years. That's the biggest achievement. You know what that tells me? We suck all the time. That's what that tells me. Minnesota Vikings haven't been to the Super Bowl since like the dark ages. And I'm just so tired of Minnesota sports just absolutely sucking. We have smaller market teams like Kansas City Royals, Kansas City Chiefs, just to do two. And Super Bowls with a smaller market team. I don't understand how I get that Minnesota's not a huge market, but we got the Twin Cities and a great fan base here. How are we not able to break this horrible curse of Minnesota getting so close yet so far? I don't understand.
Yeah, I think it's because y'all keep voting for idiots.
Oh, man. Thanks for sharing that, though, man.
Hey, Jack, we'll see. I'm rooting for the Vikings now just because of y'all.
Yeah.
Just because a lot of good things came out of Minnesota, man. Let's be honest.
I want them to do well, too. But I've seen this movie so many times, and I know, and it's ended the same way every single time.
Yeah,
it's
a horror movie.
Jack, glad you're able to release your frustrations and let us get to the last read of the day. That's a nice little conversation.
Y'all made retractable seatbelts.
Y'all did. Everybody's still excited about that.
The pop-up toaster.
Really?
Came out refrigerated trucks.
No way.
Came out Scotch tape.
Are you serious, Scotch?
Come on.
Hey, you. That's
Scotch
what,
guard.
That's hey, what should make you feel better.
Can't put a price
Scotch
on that,
tape.
Jack.
Nerf football.
All right, let's go to John in Birmingham, Alabama. John, you in God's country or what?
Danny. Oh, you know it, guys. I'm not here to talk about Auburn for now. I want to talk about Arkansas.
Talk away.
I don't know if we talked about it much, but you know, let's say Sam Pittman and the Razorbacks decide to part ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John Tyson, Chicken Man, they're not afraid to go after big names now. So I got a couple names for you. I want to know your thoughts.
Okay.
Mike Gundy.
Really?
Jimbo Fisher.
Oh. Okay.
What do you think?
I don't think those would be, I don't think either of those would be great. I like Gundy, but I think he's gonna be a lifer at Oklahoma State. And I don't think I don't know, man. I feel like y'all need something like fun and innovative at Arkansas.
Y'all have a head coach on staff.
Yo, what do you think about Petrino?
No.
You think
it's not Petrino. It's T-Will.
Travis Williams?
It's T-Will. Mm-hmm. I would elevate T-Will. That's
T-Will
what I would
come
do.
Come back to Auburn, man.
Yes, he does.
Well, good. Well, but let him go to Arkansas, do really well, and then we'll hire him over at Auburn. That's usually seem how it
works. I feel like Arkansas those would make a splash, obviously, because of the names. But I don't know, man. Like, to me, if you're going to go get somebody like that, I know Houston's struggling. I'd rather go get Willie Fritz or somebody like that. Give him a chance.
Well, Jamie Chadwell.
Jamie Chadwell would be great, but I think he's going to North Carolina.
And look, there's always an option, a guy walking around Tuscaloosa. All right, who's ready and willing to take on the challenge
of coaching
another sport. That's Nate Oates. Saw him the other weekend. Talked to him for a little bit. I know where his head's at, and he's excited about a lot of things.
All right, John, ignore all of that right there. What about Bobby Petrino, though? Would he be the head coach again?
I mean, I'd love to see it. They need to give him enough volleyball players and neck braces.
Well, yeah, that'll be his buyout.
That's terrible.
His buyout's a party with the volleyball team.
That's awful.
Or just the coaching staff.
Oh, and that's why it's funny. Thank you, John.
Bobby P, man.
Yeah, hey, great call, John.
Appreciate it, dude.
Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Kobe in Virginia. Kobe, what's going on?
Yes, I'm back on the show. I can't believe it.
What's up? Fantastic. What is up?
So first off, after you guys for doing what you do, I tune into ESPN for the first time, midday show. I know you guys know what I'm talking about. They claim to be comedic, informative. It was neither.
Yeah.
I got cable years ago, and I'm not going back. Between you guys and my K-State program, I'm like set.
Let's do it.
Kind of want to about what you opened with about home field advantage. Routinely on any given Saturday, you're going to see coaches, it seems like, get cute on third and short.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you're at home, crowd noise is not a factor. You're not going on silent count. You know, your linemen can fire out on cadence, right? If you can't get a first down on third and one and running it, like, I'm sorry, you don't deserve to win. But what I want to know about is at the higher levels, what are some of the conversations you guys are hearing on the headset between offensive coordinator and head coach? I know it's a short play clock.
No, on third down. No. On third down, you're saying.
On third down. Yeah. Because, I mean, routinely, you got fans. You see third down calls where you're like, really? That's what you guys came up with?
Yeah.
On that down.
You know, the thing is, and there's a difference between being a little bit a ways into the game because you get a feel of how the game is going. Is your offensive line dominating to the point where you're like, hey, we might as well take a shot on third and one, go heavy personnel, take a shot on play action, because we're just railroading these guys up front. So you kind of have to have a feel for what's going on. That's why making that decision earlier in the game, you see more coaches punt because they don't have that feel yet on fourth down and short, right, of we can dominate these guys up front. So a lot of it is how do we feel, you know, pregame about their defensive line, their front seven. What do they do? Do they like to slant? Do they like to stunt and stuff like that? But a lot of it is feel of the game. And then, you know, I always thought from a defensive standpoint, you know, and again, you know, what's the score of the game? How good is your field goal kicker? You know, all those, it's all circumstantial. But I always thought on the defensive side of the ball on third and short, what used to really get us is when you would take a shot. If it's third and short, and let's say you take a shot down the field and you don't get it, the teams that it always used to hit was when they would take a shot on fourth and short right after that. Because in your mind, as a defense guy, you're like, all right, that's their shot. Now they're just going to run it. But ever since you're allowed to start pushing the quarterback on the quarterback sneak, to me, that revolutionized a little bit of the thinking. So it's flow of the game to me.
Yeah, I get that too. But like last week in watching K-State, Oklahoma State, you know, I'm a K-State fan. It's third and one early in the third quarter, absolutely gashing them on the ground. And you do a pass and you don't get it. And you're at midfield and you're like, come on, guys. Like, what are you doing?
The circumstances, if you're dominating it, go get the first down. Like, go get the second and short's a great time to take a shot. That's when you want to do it.
I wish they'd bring up the analytics when it comes to.
I wish they wouldn't, because it always says.
Because I want it to work the opposite way, because everyone uses analytics to do what they want. I wonder what the analytics looks like when you're in shotgun on third and one.
Hmm.
I wonder what that looks like. Instead of just getting this, It's still to this day, it blows my mind. Like, we can come out with all these new schemes on offense, the go-go, the you-go, we-go, stop, the red light, the blue light, no matter what. Dog, if it's third and one, you don't need to get paid millions of dollars to know this. Get under center.
Well, they say,
sneak it.
They always say when you bring that up, well, in the shotgun, you're handing the ball off basically at the same point you would under center. And that may be true, but when you're under center, that running back is gaining momentum going to get that handoff as opposed to the shotgun where you're stagnant and you turn around to hand him and then he has to go get momentum. I always thought there was a difference there, David.
Yeah, look, I mean, at some point you're taking the football back from the line of scrimmage and making it longer than a fourth and one unless you're running the quarterback sneak, right? But also, like, fullback dive, how often do you see fullback dive that is a lot quick hitter than it is to hand off to the halfback anymore? That's a play that I love. I love that on NCAA, to be honest with you. You don't see it as much anymore. Just all sorts of things that I don't think guys
bring back the fullback position.
It all starts with guys can't take a snap under center now.
Yeah, right? That's true.
Cute, that's true.
Great call, buddy.
Appreciate it, man.
Great calls.
Anybody else on the line, please call in next week.
Yep. All right. Bets for tonight. We already gave you our locks, our leans, our dogs. Here's our bets for tonight. Give me Syracuse. You're going to give me them +7. I'm going to take them +7 at -135. And then Houston, you know, they couldn't score points with
relax.
I'm not going to say that.
Relax.
Give me TCU big. -16.5 tonight at -112. David, what you smelling over
there? All right, UNLV, I said I'd take them outright. I'm going to go ahead and take them -5.5 as well. That's -121. And then give me Jacksonville State -15.5 at -128. I know you guys are surprised to hear me do that because I'm not big on Jacksonville State.
I'm surprised.
They hadn't been that big. But I do like them tonight, -15.5.
All right, fellas, I love it. Bring up my bets for the day. Give me TCU -13.5. I went ahead and bought this down. Like the two possessions here, they're going off at -150. Give me the Cuse mode and the boys, Syracuse money line. That's going off at +180. Let's go, Cal.
Heavy. Real heavy. Ace, what do you got? Michigan State +23 tonight versus the Oregonians. Then going to ride the lightning with your boy, TCU -16.5, -112. Also, the helmets TCU are wearing tonight are so awesome. Just wait. They're so
did y'all hard. See the...
FIU
or FAU, one of the other, the Vice?
FIU, Miami
Those Vice. Things were sweet.
Did you see them on the boat? Yeah. Did you see them on the boat?
Yeah. Those things are...
Too bad they suck.
All right, if you donated today, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. We're going to start off with a $5 donation from the Giant Raiden Knight. He says, ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you the God Bless the Troops parlay. Navy, -6.5.
Okay.
Army, -6.5. Book it.
I love that.
Look, that's if there's ever a parlay I could get behind, it's that one. Let's go to $5 donation from DS. What's up, man? Complete freaking joke that the Bucs weren't allowed to respond on offense in overtime.
Thank
you. The NFL overtime rules are pathetically atrocious.
They are. They suck. And you know what? It's bad value, like entertainment value. It's not just bad strategically. Who wouldn't have won a scene?
Well, if both teams get the ball, Jay, it means they have to play more football.
Well, it's I know, but like, if you want to have
the Players Association don't want them to play.
I'll meet you in the middle. If you want to play less ball, if a team goes and scores a touchdown that gets the opening drive in overtime in the NFL and they kick the extra point, if the team that gets, you know, that receives the ball, if they score a touchdown, they got to go for two.
See, I just want the one team to summon their greatest warrior. Then the other team to summon their greatest warrior, and that's how you decide it. No one has to play more football.
Well, that sounds like too much contact.
Yeah,
that's an automatic.
Sorry, whoops, guys.
It's not in the CBA.
Let's go to $5 donation from Osama bin Ballin. So, who's got more dog in him, Kirk Cousins or a Haitian migrant? $20 donation from F3 says, talk about ground shaking and kneeling. I want to remind everybody in the conference, especially those douchebags from Florida, that we'll get to feel it all next week. All the folks on Rocky Top get their corn from a jar.
Yeah, hopefully it's not candy.
Yeah, that's the truth. $5 donation from BC says Steve has arrived in Nashville, guys.
All right.
$2 donation from Josh. What's up, Josh? Unpopular opinion. No different colored fields allowed. I just don't like it.
I'm not a huge fan of it either, especially the red one at Eastern Washington. They call it the Inferno. It just burns my eyes when I look at it.
You can't watch them on TV. $5 donation from Thomas Armetti. What's up, Thomas Cone? You think Michigan should be giving freshman Jaden Davis snaps with a 4GM rule like they did with JJ getting playing time with Caden 21?
I don't know. I hadn't seen him play. I did see him warm up on the sidelines against Texas. Looked like he throws a good ball, but I have heard that Jack Tuttle is getting healthy. and we might see him play some this weekend.
Jack Tuttle just sounds like a senator from Ohio.
Yeah, he's that old too.
Yeah.
$5 donation from Justin A. What's up, man? Good afternoon, fellas. Thoughts on the Reds getting Terry Fran?
He's done it before, you know, as somebody with personal experience, being in a Reds game.
Oh, we all know. Yeah, we all know.
Look, I got no problem with Francona. It was a fun story with Red Sox. That has the word red in it and has an S in it, so I'm starting to connect the dots here. Trust the signs.
Absolutely beautiful. Let's go to a $10 donation from JD. He says, when I played, I was like Billy Chappell, hashtag clear the mechanism. I literally heard the play call, and then it went into white noise. Even after pick six, it took a minute for me to be able to hear.
Such a good movie. Yeah. The love of the game.
It is a great movie.
$5 donation from the Titans says, what's your honest opinion on the holy war between Utah and BYU at Rice-Eccles in 4 weeks' time, fellas? Is it too early, or have you guys seen enough?
Cam Rising playing quarterback. Like, I don't, if it changes the whole calculus. It's hard for me.
You're some big words.
And we're not going to know before the game. It's just
calculus, repertoire. I heard that earlier today.
Yeah, I'm trying to get
growing his vocabulary.
You're expanding your Webster, and I enjoy it. Let's go to a $10 donation from Steven Diggers. What's up, man? Worried about the Aggie defense will be torched. Hopefully the D-line will cause fits. Praying that Colin Klein finish offense coordinating for dummies before half.
This game, who knows? Like, who knows this game? I'd be worried if I was you, too. I always get the most worried when I don't have a good idea what's going to happen. But they're going to try and feed Luther Burden. Going back to Flame and Dragon's point, I can't wait to watch it. Can't wait to not bet it, either.
$2 donation from Cole. Appreciate it, Cole. Does UCF have a chance tomorrow?
Yeah, they got a chance.
Give me hope, y'all.
Yeah, they got a chance. I mean, you're playing Florida. We'll see. I just think Florida wins.
Let's go to $5 donation from the Drunk Engineer. He says, if Georgia Tech beats Duke tomorrow, what chances do you give them on making a bowl game?
Oh, they'll make it. What's their record right now?
Duke? They're undefeated.
No, Georgia Tech.
One loss?
3-2?
Is it two?
Georgia Tech lost to...
Also, UCS favored.
They lost Syracuse.
Yeah. Georgia Tech lost to Syracuse and somebody, right?
Georgia Tech is 3-2. They beat Florida State, Georgia State, and Virginia Military Institute, and they lost to Syracuse and Louisville.
Who got the rest of the way, Dave, real quick?
Duke at North Carolina, Notre Dame at home, or maybe I think that's neutral site in Atlanta, at Virginia Tech, Miami at home, NC State at home, at Georgia.
Ooh.
Not great. Let's go to $5 donation from Taylor Holland. Thank you, Taylor. So that's why we get so mad at Billy because he goes so slow in the swamp. Every time we have momentum, he always needs to stop and it loses the crowd.
It's weird seeing Florida not be explosive offensively just when you grew up in the Urban Meyer, even to Dan Mullen. Like, that was never the problem. Like, the problem was they couldn't tackle anybody.
Which is just crazy to even talk about. Let's go to TJ. What's up, man, with a $5 donation? He says, I'm really nervous about this Cal game. I'm hoping the Virginia Tech game was anomaly. We can come out and ball tomorrow night. Go Canes.
Well, like Miami, like we talked about, you got Cam Ward, Restrepo. I think you guys are going to have success on offense, but Justin Wilcox is such a good defensive mind. Like, he will get the most out of those guys defensively. He'll have the best plan, but some of them are just going to be beat at birth. Where I'd be worried about Miami is I think this game could turn into a track meet. I really think it could because I don't trust Miami in man coverage right now. Even getting Reuben Bain back to help with that pass rush in that front seven, you know, and what he can do just from an athletic standpoint. I don't know. I think Cal's going to be able to make plays in one-on-one situations. We're just going to keep him in the game.
Let's go to $2 donation from Joshua Hawley. He says, Blaine, insane take on the South Carolina D-line. Tennessee is better. I think you can have an honest conversation about South Carolina and Tennessee up front standpoint.
Josh Hawley just donated?
Joshua Hawley.
Nice.
What's up, Josh? $5 donation from Ryan Gade. Ha, 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 ha. Another early first-round exit for the Braves, but rumor is Spirit of Halloween is taking over Truist Park since it's not being used.
Well, you know, I would... y'all better beat the Mets because the Mets right now are hot and lucky. Beat the Mets. Right?
$2 donation from the Crane & Co. memes. Happy Flame & Dragon Friday. On my way to Nashville, fellas. Can't wait to see you.
Tailgate, son.
$20 donation from RJ, the Don himself, Flaming Dragon. Thank you, sir. You, Jake, and David are running the 2024 Auburn team to win a national championship in 2025. You would have to play the Alabama 2015 national championship team or the LSU 2020 national championship team. Who would you rather play? Oh, I'm not playing.
Give me Bama. Man.
Give me Bama. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase.
I'd rather play
LSU and just hope they have. I mean,
hope it's a track meet and you
yeah.
win.
Yeah, or hope that they're just off through the air that game or something.
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
I'd want to play the less physical team, even if they put up 600 yards.
That Bama defense.
God almighty.
We're killing people. It was tough to watch. All right, let me get through these real quick. $5 donation from Cuse. What's up, man? Just landed in Nashville for tomorrow's tailgate. Can't wait to meet y'all. In the meantime, go Syracuse, Central New York. Take over the Las Vegas Strip. $2 donations from Tim. Appreciate it, Tim. Brewers are dead to me. Sell everything. Hashtag Nashville.
Yeah. Oh, man, Tim. I was actually thinking about you when that ball went over the fence from the polar bear last night.
Poll. Who wins Saturday, fellas? Ole Miss or South Carolina?
It's a good one.
What do you think, David? What do you think?
I'll say they stuck with Ole Miss. I'll say like 53% or something.
I actually think they went South Carolina, and it's 51-49.
Ole Miss, 58%. Wow. South Carolina, 42%.
Wow. All right, man. Great, great week. Really appreciate y'all. Man, our numbers are through the roof. We, we love doing it, love bringing it to you guys. Make sure you keep watching, keep sharing the show.
That under hit?
No, it's too late.
That's right. We are dragons. Shout out to Bet Online, Jeremy's Razors, Responsible Man, and Fume. Again, enjoy the football watch this weekend. We got the Booster Club tailgate tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like the chances of me not getting excited to watch all these college football games tonight. We're going.
Oh, I thought it got
stuck. It never hit the ground. That's a catch. Get out of here. Y'all saw it. Everybody saw it.
Republicans are Nazis. You cannot separate yourselves from the bad white people.
Growing up, I never thought much about race. Never really seemed to matter that much, at least not to me.
Am I racist?
I would really appreciate it if you left.
I'm trying to learn. I'm on this journey.
I'm going to sort this out. I need to go deeper undercover.
They don't say I'm racist.
Joining us now is Matt, certified DEI expert.
Here's my certifications.
And what you're doing is you're stretching out of your whiteness. Listen more for you in this field.
Is America inherently racist?
The word inherent is challenging there.
I'm going to rename the George Washington Monument to the George Floyd Monument.
America is racist to its bones.
So inherently.
Yeah, this country is a piece of...
White
folks,
white
trash,
white supremacy,
white woman,
white boy.
Is there a black person around?
What's a black person right here? Does he not exist?
They don't say I'm racist.
Hi, Robin.
Hi. What's your name?
I'm Matt.
I just had to ask who you are because you have to be careful.
Never be too careful.
They gonna say you racist.
In theaters now. Rated PG-13.